Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church, Enugu.
Glory to God. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. All right. So the topic has been what? Back to the basics, right? Not topic, the theme, really. So last week on Sunday, we dealt a lot on prayer, and I know that it wasn't as systematic as I wanted it to be, but of course, the Spirit owns the church. So what he wants to do, we follow him, right? So he wanted to quicken us to the place of prayer, and I'm trusting that it did. I'm trusting that many of us have begun to pray more than we were praying before, and I'm trusting the Lord that we'll begin to pray even more than we're praying right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is God's desire that we are in the place of prayer all the time. Amen. And today I titled it Take Root Downwards. All right. Bear fruit upward. So you can see, stay with the word. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. Please put up 1 Peter 2:2 for me. 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter, all right, start from verse 1. 1 Peter 2:1-2. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every. He said, do what? Rid yourself of it. You do what? Rid yourself of it. He says, verse 2, go ahead. Like newborn babes, do what? Crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it, you may grow up in your salvation. So remember when we said that, I said salvation is not the end of the journey, right? We are in a journey. Salvation is the beginning. You stepped into a journey when you got saved. So he says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it, you may grow up in your salvation. So of course, you know he's referring to the word, amen? So if there is pure spiritual milk, that means that there is what? It means that there is impure spiritual milk, all right? We believe that, right? Good. So, but then he tells us what to crave, the one that is pure. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, how do you know what is false if you don't know what is right? You know, if you want to know fake naira, what do you study? The what? The original. You don't have to go about seeking for all the fake naira everywhere. This one is looking white. I think this one is, don't bother. Learn the original. And wherever you spot what doesn't look like the original, you just call it fake, right? In the same vein, if as believers, we don't spend time learning the truth of God's word, we will be swayed by winds of doctrine you don't even know you'll be swayed by. Praise the Lord. You begin to hear all manner of thoughts like follow your heart. Good advice, isn't it? Just follow your heart. Meanwhile, the Bible clearly tells us that the heart is what? Deceitful. But when I say, no, just follow your heart, it sounds like I'm even quoting scriptures. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you're having a serious conversation with somebody telling, you know, I just need to solve this money problem now. I just need to solve this issue now. Well, heaven helps those who help themselves. That's what the Bible says. Right? Right? Meanwhile, Bible said nothing like that. But you see, if you don't know what is written, you will not know what is not written. If you don't know what God can say, what God has said, you won't know what God can't say. Hallelujah. So that's why somebody will come to a church and say to somebody, I saw a coffin. I saw somebody in your compound, you know, going to die and will be buried. So what you would do, you are going to sow a seed and bring the cost of a coffin. Go and prize coffin, the one you will have used. And bring the money in the feet of the prophets. And you know, we're laughing about it. Why? Somebody has been set free. Hallelujah. No, but there is, no, I have been there. I'm not telling you something else. It's something that has happened right before my presence. And somebody is jittering. Where are we going to borrow the money? Well, you know, you will laugh. So what makes the difference? Somebody knows what is written. Somebody knows what God can say. And another doesn't. They are all in the church. Going to church every Sunday. Another has grown spiritually, at least to a degree. Another hasn't. Praise God forevermore. Now, this seems even very far. Or maybe very, who will believe that? But people believe it daily. I mean, I was in a service and the pastor was praying for all the single ladies. I wasn't married then, so I was up receiving prayers. Thank you, Jesus. We got married. And then I just heard, run and come and keep 1,000 on the, immediately, even the one I said amen to. The way I sat down was like dropping hot potato. I quickly sat down. Why? It didn't sound like what my father would say. Do you understand? No, pastor, it's good to give pastor, Abi. It's good to give pastor, Abi. No, we're not saying that it's not good. Give pastor. So they'll not tell you to sow seed that you should not be. Just be giving pastor. But that's not where we are going. I'm saying, if the pastor comes and I'll tell you what is not, you should be able to be like the Berean Christians. I'll be like, what in the Bible? Where is it written? Apostle Paul is preaching and people are checking it in the Bible. You don't have fear. Apostle Paul is preaching. You are checking whether it's correct. What do you mean? Why would it be correct? Do you understand? And no, he didn't have any issue with that. It is the way believers grow. You must check the Bible. Then I'm preaching. You're not checking whether it's true. Better check. Be checking it. Go home and, Pastor, you know, we're just talking something. Let's even, where is it in the Bible? The one you did not see, threw it away, very far away from your life. It doesn't matter who is preaching. The word of God is sacrosanct. It's supreme. It's supreme over, no matter the bishop. I thought Apostle Paul was preaching. People were scrutinizing. Hey, when you Bible open, they were checking. Hallelujah. Because if you don't know what is written, you will swallow what is not written. I can just tell you it is written. Now, because you don't read your Bible, you can't even quote it. Because you heard from pastor. Do you get, you know, when you're quoting, you know, Bible said, because pastor quoted it, it's right. You now go and quote it to somebody that knows the Bible. Better say, oh yeah, open your Bible. Come and show me. You check from Genesis to Revelation or zero. Hallelujah. These things are not intentional. It's not like you wanted to just quote something. Or no, it's that the more we spend time knowing what the word says, the more we know what it doesn't say. When you now hear what is not true, you just be moving very far. Keep moving far. If there are people there you like, you say, come on, let me gist you. Take this one, throw this one away. And it doesn't matter who is preaching. Praise God forevermore. See, believers, it should be back to basics, is that we go back to reading our Bibles. Pick your Bible, open it and read. You know, last Sunday I said, there are things you can delegate. Delegation is a skill. We teach it. Even in our Christians in Business and Leadership, we're learning how to delegate very fast and very well. You see prayer. You see the reading of the word. You ain't delegating to nobody. Pastor Banky has shared a story of a man that will say he's fasting for people. So they give you fasting. Give you like, this is my brother Mota now. Give you 7 days fasting, dry fasting. I say, just come and give me and pay me. I'll fast on your behalf. They give another person. So my job is to collect fast. You pay me, I fast for you. That person, does he want to live long at all? He can't now. Amen. You know, this thing sounds like it's in Jamaica is happening. It's not. It's not. People just imagine things and begin to do it. I'm fasting for you. You will be fasting. I'll be I'll be following, I'll be blowing fire. I'll be called, keep going. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. We must crave this sincere, this pure milk of the word. Open your Bible and read. Now, sometimes I want to read, but where do I start from? I mean, I have a witness. All of you know where to start. Fantastic. I like that. So we have 66 books, and sometimes you're wondering, where should I start from? Praise the Lord. The good thing is that there are books of the Bible. If you start with them, you will just close the Bible and move on with your life. Abby? So you want to just start to read now. You can open Ezekiel. Or the thing did not help you. You went to open Lamentation. And that's like, just want to begin to read the Bible. And now you know when to use King James Version. You see that, is it Bible? Yes. But at the end of the day, you have complicated your situation. So what do we do? I'm struggling to read the Bible. Where do I even start? I really want to start reading. Because I know that many of us like to read. That's something the Lord said to teach me. Because, you know, when we say start from the place of desire. The Lord said desire is not enough. Desire is good, but it's never enough. And that's why I gave that example I gave last Sunday. I said, I desire to eat will not keep my stomach full, will not make my stomach full. No matter how I desire to eat just something hot, and you know, a very drink down it with one chill drink. No matter how I'm craving and I'm desiring it, my stomach will still be growling and growling until I actually open my mouth and begin to put it inside. Which means it's not here now. Maybe I'll have to either send somebody or begin to go where it is to buy it. Desire is not enough. So if we desire to study the Bible, it means that we're going to have to open it and start. The best or the good place to start is in the Gospels because it tells a lot of stories. You just be like, You know how Jesus was telling them parables? Story. Once upon a time, there was a farmer. He was sowing his seed. He was telling stories. So it's interesting. I start in the gospel, get it to the epistles, read the law, that is Genesis. You know, just start reading all of those stories. What it does to you is that, you know that the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Abby? So it quotes a lot of quotations. I've forgotten the number now, but very lump sum number. Many of the scriptures in the New Testament were from the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. Many of the quotations of Apostle Paul was in the New Testament. Why did he then rage, you know, nations and man? Psalm 2 was quoted in, Peter quoted. So most of the scriptures you see in the New Testament were old, even Jesus, the Gospels, you know, the Gospel is not where the New Testament started, amen? I be now, you know. So, but Jesus himself also quoted from the Old Testament. So when you begin to read, you see that if you have a study Bible, you can begin to write out where the scripture is in the Old Testament. The reference, right? So if you want to study, you can now be picking, let me go back to see where it is in the Old Testament. But then you have read it. You have read a passage. Are you with me? You have started to read those stories. There are ways to study, of course. Reading the Bible is different from studying the Bible. Studying is different from meditating, right? So when you are reading, you're just reading it. Just reading it. When you are studying, you're like, okay, let me study the life of David, the life of Abraham, this topic, let me just study about this thing. It's different from when you actually begin to meditate. Meditation is how it now applies to your daily life. How it not applies to you. How you take the word and put it in your mouth, in your heart, in your mouth, in your heart, in your mouth, until you begin to live it. Do you understand that? Good. So, I'm saying that don't bog your head, where should I start? And again, you know, sometimes when you are going through stuff or there is a particular thing you want to read about, you know, you're going through things and you're just looking at, what should I read now that will talk about what I'm going through? Most of the times, I've learned personally, I go to the book of Isaiah. personally. Personally. Especially when he talks about my life and ministry. I go to Isaiah. Personally, it works for me. And I've also learned the book of Psalms. Praise the Lord, because it has the greatest number of messianic prophecies in the book of Psalms. So you can start from there. So I'm in a fix. I'm in a challenge. Where do I start from? What do I read? Get to the prophets. Get to Isaiah. Get to the Psalms. All right? But like what I usually say is this. Every part of the Bible is God-breathed. The scripture, the Bible is God-breathed. Amen? It is God-breathed. Every scripture, every word of scripture is God-breathed. So there are times you are looking through scriptures, you're just reading and reading and reading, and the Lord quickens a scripture that doesn't seem like what it sounds like to you. That doesn't seem like it's, you know, what you would naturally go to when you are going through stuff or that particular thing. Glory to God. Amen. So you can open your Bible. Let's say I want to read the book of Matthew. Just begin to read it. Matthew chapter 1. Chapter 2, chapter 3, is by the time you are, you know, in chapter 3, a scripture would have been quickened to you. And when a scripture is quickened to you, what does it mean that a scripture is quickened to you? I like to say it this way. If I throw this thing at you, you will know that I threw something at you, right? So when you are reading the Bible, there are times something just hits you. Just literally, it jumps at you. Do I have witness? You know what we do? Word. Thank you, Jesus. Some good, you know, some people will spend a few minutes pray and then continue reading. You see, most often than not, that scripture that jumps at you is a pathway. Did you hear what I said? Most often than not, that scripture that jumps at you is a pathway. Is an answer, is an instruction, is a pathway. Which means, from that scripture, you begin to journey into the point the Lord wants you to get into. So don't be in a hurry to leave a scripture that jumps at you. Stay with it. Meditate on it. Let it open up to you. Drink it, because that thing is a well that was opened up to you. Anytime a scripture gets thrown at you, a well was just dug for you. What do you do? Drink it and drink it and drink it and drink it well. Don't be in a hurry to run off from scriptures. Don't be in a hurry to run off from, praise God. Don't be in a hurry to run off. Stay there. Amen. Today, I'm trusting the Lord that I won't spend plenty of time. I used to say that, but that's my desire. Because I want us to pray. I want us to pray. So when we sing, or when children sing, read your Bible, pray every day, say to your neighbor, that's not children's song. Read your Bible, pray every day, it's not children's song. Say it to your neighbor. It's not children's song. Because see, when we sing it, the adult in you just matures. You're laughing. Children sing it, sing it. No. We're all growing, amen? We all ought to grow. And the secret, read your Bible, pray, not when you feel like it, every day. Every day. Every day. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. So I was thinking about a farmer, that's how the Lord brought it to me. A farmer, how that they get up and begin to plan for their planting season. And they get to the farm, there are stones, there are thorns, there are bushes they need to clear off. There is the tilling of the ground they need to do. There is the adding of manure they have to do. There is so many processes that has to happen before the farmer now puts the crop in the soil to begin to expect a harvest. Amen. It sounds like a lot of work, don't you think so? It is a lot of work. Are you with me? But you see, our life as Christians and our journey with the Word is not less easier. The Bible says, you see that in Luke chapter 8, I believe it is, that the Word or the seed is a Word. The thing that makes it easy for a believer to understand scriptures, or the person that makes it easy for the believer to understand scriptures, is the Holy Spirit. See, learning the Bible is work. Say to somebody, it's work. is work. Is there any work you do that is easy? So I was, when we were working on this POP, and you know, the people were sort of somewhat slow at some point. So I was like, well, I can imagine they are tired, having to have your hands up and you're just continually working, just working. I can imagine that. And my brother Godwin said to me, which work is not tiring? Which work is easy? He said, you that is pastor, is the pastor work easy? Brother, it's crazy. It's not easy. Suddenly it makes sense. Anyone you are, is that the one you are doing, you stay there and you choose your easy. Abi, you choose your hard. Praise the Lord. The one you are doing, you stay there and be doing it. There's nothing on earth that is easy. There is no work on earth that is easy. But the point is that this is where I found myself. Better work it with your life. What cuts across is the word of God. No matter what you do, where you have been planted, the word, you need it. You need the word of God no matter where you've been called. And if you need it, walk it. Walk it. Wake up like that farmer that knows I am expecting a harvest and begin to do what the farmer does. Begin to do what the farmer does. Rid your heart of all manner of things that are choking the world. The cares of this life you have been, you know, on Wednesday I was speaking, I said, let's learn to believe God and rest in God. Because that is what stops the world from producing. You don't trust God, you don't believe God. You are smart enough to help yourself. When our hearts are filled with all manner of things, what we can do, what we can't do, things we, you know, see, even if you are trying to read, it's like weeds. Those weeds, that it can't produce. It can't let the world bear fruit. I say what? Do what the farmer does. So number one is the sincere milk of the word. Make sure that what you are looking for is a pure milk. That is what looking for, good grains, sabi? Good seeds. Thank you, Jesus. So a farmer does not walk into a bush, throw seeds. I'm in the mood to farm. I was telling one of my brothers, I want to farm. I'm looking for a space. So I imagine that, and I get a space. I'm like, I've been looking for this space since. And I went to bring the seeds I want, and I just thought, hi, big land. And I now carry my seeds and begin to just flip it everywhere. Should we all come to pick a harvest, Abby? The ones birds did not eat. It's futile. It's waste of effort. So a farmer does not just work and just throw seeds and be expecting that, you know, yes, in some weeks I'll come and be, you'll be surprised. Glory to God. So there is a process, there is labor, there is consistency, there is patience. In the same vein, in our walk with the word as believers, see, it's not I've been in church for 10 years. It's not, I've been born again for 12 years, for 50 years. Fantastic, good for you. The question is, how much growth is happening in you? 10 years as a believer, do you still curse? 10 years as a believer, how quick do you obey what God instructed you to do? You know, how fast do you obey God? How fast do you obey instructions? How many verses of scripture do you meditate on daily? What is the Lord saying to you right now? Abi, he stopped talking since you can't remember. Do you get that? So it's not how long we've been saved. It's not how long we are in church. Very beautiful. Let's be in church. But much more than that, Your walk with God matters. I preached a message here in intimacy and with Matthew chapter 25, from Matthew chapter 25, how that the servants, the master called three of his servants, gave one five, gave one two, gave one, right? And the Bible says the one he gave five went, produced results, got five more. The one he gave two, produced results, brought two more. The one he gave one did what? He hid it. Why? One master. Three of them had the same master. So why did one have a different testimony of the master? He says, you're a wicked master. I know you. Your heart is so hard. So I was so afraid, I went to hide it. And I said, the difference is relationship. The other two knew the master. They've been following, reading everything the master said. So they knew the secrets. The master had written it in a book called the Bible. So they were reading it, following him, following him, following the Bible. They were learning. They were learning what the master has said. They were taking roots downwards. So producing five more was easy. Producing two more was easy. Because it's by strength shall no man prevail. It's by the Spirit. And it says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So, but the one that didn't spend time building relationship with the master, who didn't even know what the master liked, he just had a perception in his mind what people had said. So I think that you are, I just know you're mad, you're a hard person. You're a wicked man. You are reaping where you did not sow. So why did you have a different testimony? And these other two, who are also my servants, have a different testimony. What you know of God determines your result in life. That's why he says in Daniel, they that know their God. They that know their God. They are the ones that can do exploits. He says that my word may abide in you. Without my word abiding in you, you can't produce anything. Do you understand? You can't produce anything. The only thing that guarantees you're making it in life, whatever that means, is that that Jesus is living in you. The word of God is dwelling in your heart richly. Imagine that your journey is that you get to Abuja and you took off. You're supposed to be followed like this to Abuja. And you took off heading this way to Lagos. You were pumped up, full of energy, packed your bag, had everything to go with. Or you are running fast in the opposite direction. Why? There was an instruction manual, a guide that was put on the table. Read it, know where you are running and start running. And you never bothered. You just thought that you'd be going to Lagos. Are you with me? What happens to you when you get to Lagos? Did you get to Lagos? Yes. But what happens to you? What happens to the person who got to Lagos? Meanwhile, you should be going to Abuja. Efforts wasted, time wasted, energy wasted. See, you failed regardless. So you're still going to do what? If you want to get to Abuja, there is no day you wake up and Lagos has finally turned to Abuja. So you had better begin to do what? Be running back. And now your journey is now what? Longer. Longer. In the same vein, there is that which is written about you in the volume of the books. So why don't we sit on it and find it out and begin to run our race? Why do we want to take all the turns that are not our path, that are not in our path? Make all the mistakes that there is to make before we finally get on it. That is why you see people, after 20 years, I said, that the Lord said to them in year one, go this way. But somehow they thought that they can just keep going here until it becomes it. It never becomes it. Believers, let's go back to the word of God. Let's get back to the word. Stick to the word. Take the pain.
Go through the process.
See, you don't just, you know, the Bible says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. You don't just wake up and you see that you are now full of God. It's a process. Amen? It's a process. Every day, consistently, you are going to Him. Every day you are going to Him. Every day you are going to Him. The reason why you feel that God is afar from, sometimes is that you are far. You've been afar. Glory to God. So any believer who wants to grow spiritually must intentionally stay in the Word of God. Amen. So many believers want harvest, but they don't want cultivation. They don't want cultivation. That's the hard part. You know, when you're seeing the harvest, the joy alone, let me be dragging it. But there's the cultivation that has to happen in between before there's a harvest. Praise God forevermore. And that's where the real work happens, in the cultivation. Glory to God forevermore. God is good. So clearing out the ground is what the farmer does. Removes what competes with the word before planting begins. Before planting begins, a farmer first clears the field. Bushes, weeds, thorns, stones, removes everything that stands, that comes in between or stays. I don't know. I just feel like leaving this thing. That's why. Help me, Lord. There is what is called hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. Jesus had multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, right? Remember, when he prayed and when he broke the bread, when he gave thanks and broke the bread, he put the bread he had broken in the hands of his disciples and they began to share, right? As they were sharing, they noticed it wasn't finishing. So the miracle literally happened in their hands. Jesus did not do it on his back and then give them to share. They didn't know how it happened. No. So you know you had two portions and the two was not finishing. Do you understand? As you are giving out, you gave one, the one came back. You gave another one, the one, you know, it wasn't finishing. It happened in their hands. But you see, while they crossed the river, the Bible says that Jesus was speaking to them and says, be mindful of the yeast of the Pharisees. And what did they say? Maybe it's because we've not come out with bread. Jesus was like, what's wrong with this? Are we still having conversation about bread? After what you saw yesterday. So maybe because we've not come out with enough bread. Jesus said, is your heart still hard? He apportioned it or he appropriated it to hardness of heart. God has done a work in you. Say amen. God has done a work in you. But you see, that hardness of heart makes it so that you keep doubting at a point where the Lord is saying, I thought of taking you through this process. Why are we still going back to this conversation? The answer is simple. Why that happens is that we don't spend time on what Jesus has said. We don't spend time meditating on what he has said, meditating on what he has done. Remember what I said. Meditation is how it now applies to your life. If they had spent time meditating, now how did Jesus do this miracle? My God. If they had spent time meditating on it, it would have been internalized in them. It's no longer a mind thing that happened and they can forget about. They couldn't forget about it. It would have been planted in their stomach. It would have been planted in your heart. Nobody can, nothing, bread is no more a problem. Bread is no more a problem. Why? We saw it happen. We are living witnesses that this happened. And we've internalized it. Like we always like to give a simple, like somebody has given you 1,000. You came again, he gave you 1,000. If you're coming the third time, will you be wondering? You just know that the person has 1,000 to give you. The person has proved himself faithful. Many of us have gone, we have turned our back. We have withdrawn from the faithfulness of God we know. Is God faithful? Yes. But in your conversations, is God faithful? In your experiences, is God faithful? In your dealings with people, is God faithful? In your bills, I mean bills, not the bills every day, Nabi. Is God faithful? But how do we know? If we don't spend time knowing what he said. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. If we don't spend time in the Word, you will complain on faithfulness, even when you still raise your hand and say, God is faithful. When we talk, we say, God is faithful. But when you act, you act in unfaithfulness. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the just shall live by the word of God. The just shall live by what? Faith in God's word. Glory to God. Shall live by faith in what God has said. If God has spoken, people of God, there is every fruit, every answer is in that word. Every answer is in that word. Every answer is in that word. This morning, I was, when I was getting the kids ready for church, so Zoe, I had put a shoe on her. I don't know, I think the buckle or whatever is not firm enough. So when she walks, the shoe will be pulling off. She'll bring it back again and tell you, shoe. I wear it again. She will, at the back, I remember there's a shoe we had kept. Just bought it, put, hey, covered it. Oh yeah, walk. Is it falling? No, it's not falling. And I said, church, abasa. So the implication is case closed. End of discussion, right? Only that I didn't know I caused confusion in the hearts of another young person in the house. I moved self. And I said, Mommy, Zane calling me. I said, yes. Mommy, church has it, Basta? I laughed. I laughed. Church has it, but I mean, we are dressed because he's dressed already. I said, Mommy, church has it, Basta, the one that we are still going to. I said, my son, church has not passed. Praise God. But if you knew what is church has passed, when I said my husband was there, so he quickly moved on because he knew what I was talking about. So if you understood what I said, maybe you'll just be moving on with your life. But when you don't know, that's why you'll be asking questions that doesn't concern, questions that Jesus did not send you to. Praise the Lord. It's funny now, Abby. I said, no, church is not master anything, Biko. Praise God. There are many confusions that have come to us because we don't know. The Bible says, my people perish. Why? They don't know. Not because it's not written. Not because provision is not made. But they don't even know it was made. Imagine getting to heaven and realizing that all the things you needed in this life was provided. And truly, it is provided. And you're saying to the Lord, Lord, how I suffered, how I had to deal with this. And the Lord is saying, are you serious? And the check was in open the portion and be showing you, was in Psalm 23. You didn't see it. No, Lord, but I was reading, I know it now. So the Lord is our chef. But he was there. Imagine that you spend time reading all manner of degrees and you never read what God asked you to read. Double PhD, but the thing God asked you to read, you never read it. Our lives as believers is not ordinary. We're not just existing. Daily, God is sending people your way. He said, no, I'm not sent to men. I'm sent to women. Are you the sender? No, I wasn't talking to you. Praise the Lord. Are you the sender? God sends you to children. He said, no, children can. Hey, Lord. Please, Angel Gabriel, just take this book back. Tell the Lord I wasn't available. You missed call. You are not the sender. I'm going to say this. There are many persons that are that are out of this country. They have to come back to enter the will of God for their lives. You hear what I said? Oh, they have to return. Our lives are not ordered by what is trending. Everybody's going south. Oh, it's now not. No. After going there, the Lord will tell you that narrow is the way. I'll be broad is the way. Keep going there. But if you want to follow me, narrow is the way. Turn. So our own is not the broad way. It's a narrow way. Amen. So God sends you on an assignment. God gives you specific assignment. You better be following His assignment for your life. But how do you know? How do you know? How do you know what God has said? How do you know what God has said? I was sharing a story on Wednesday about the revival that happened in Indonesia. Mel Tari was sharing a story in Like a Mighty Wind, the book called Like a Mighty Wind. I read some time ago. And praise God. Stay with me. Don't be distracted. So, and he shared many mind-blowing testimonies, what God did. But I said that what preceded that is that they only know to sit down and be hearing the word of God. He said that we know Bible well. He said that. We knew scriptures. So because of that, at the fullness of time, there was an outpouring. People who didn't believe in praying in tongues. I mean, imagine the church where you just sit down, they will write out prayers. If you wave your hand, you are a sinner. You want to praise God, you are dancing the way we are dancing in church. Hey! No! You walk circumspectly. Praise God. God is holy. You be holy. Stay one place. Only pastors preach. But you said that day, people were doing all sorts. It felt like are people going mad? This one will stand and be waving her hands. This one will start praying in the Holy Ghost. This one will be singing. And don't they know where we are? You are there looking at every other person. That's what I'm telling you. People are having encounters every day in every service. So you can be looking, hey, that woman is just crying. Hey, your hand know they pain you. Hey, that one is kneeling down. It's just you. Meanwhile, people are having encounters. That's why I always say, when you come to church, leave your neighbor. Except you just came to show us your fine clothes and your fine shoe. I will tell you, it's very fine. But you see, when the chips are down, you know that your clothes is not fine enough. No matter how many thousands it be, you don't find enough because you don't go solve the problem where they are standard. Will you take the clothes and be dangling it before your landlord? Or somebody is sick, you say, bring the clothes away. They better have the anointing of Peter. Praise the Lord. So you see that when it matters, you know what matters. Praise the Lord. So why don't we pay attention to what matters? People spend time sewing clothes. Spend time planning for Christmas. Spend time planning for vacay. But we don't spend time planning how to spend time in the Word. Praise God forevermore. Now, Tari, I encourage you to read that book, Like a Mighty Wind. It will blow your mind, the things that are possible when men just stay in the Word. He will share a story of people just believing that he said that water will turn to wine. And yes, water was turning to wine. They were in a place, they didn't have access to communion. They didn't have access to all of this. So they will gather, bring water and put it in a keg and go and keep it where they'll be praying. They'll be praying, cover it with something white like this so that when it turns, they will see that the thing will touch the white. And it now turns to red. No, it will now become wine. The wine will stain the white. It will literally turn. It's water they poured. They put something and it turns to wine. And then the funny thing that happened about it, when he said, because it was something for him, but he tasted the wine and no, it wasn't tasting like wine. It was colored wine, but it wasn't tasting as such. There were three. The other two, a man and a woman, tasted and said, delicious. It's yummy. Wine, fresh wine. So he said, what kind of thing is this? Something he tasted. Is it his tongue? Why is it tasting like water? They moved the thing to where they'll now use it. Abi, where the priests are that they will now share it. They drank it. Delicious. Everybody, you were just looking at them. Liars. But you know, when he now drank it there, it was wine. It was tasting like wine. So the Lord said to teach him something. Okay, he said he went back to ask those other two. When you drank it, was it water? And he said, no. Just tell me the truth. He said, yeah, it's water. I said, so why did you lie and say it was tasting? He said, no, I chose to believe the word of God than my tongue. I chose to believe that the Lord said it will turn to wine than what my tongue is telling me. Ah. Are you with me? Than my tongue. Hallelujah. I choose to believe what the word says than what I feel in my body. Ah, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let God be true. Let God be true. It doesn't matter if the deadline is tomorrow. Let God be true. It doesn't matter if the list has been published, your name is not on it. Let God be true. He said, I chose to believe what you are calling it a lie. But the Lord has said it will turn to wine. So wine, shall I call it? Fresh wine. Sweet wine. It was a process. When it got to when they were not shared, it was tasting like wine. But people could have just said, and terminated the process. And terminated the process. What does the Bible says? When the word is like that seed when it goes into the ground, as it's coming and it says, first the blade, then the ear, before. So you're not seeing the corn first. You're not seeing the harvest. Imagine we have a land we planted and we come the next day. Where is the corn now? No corn. Oh, nonsense. Oh yeah, remove it, let's start afresh. You pull everything that has grown out. No. You believe that there shall be a performing of what has been spoken. You believe that there shall be is. He says, this word will not return to me void. Every word I have spoken will accomplish that for the reason which I sent it. Every word. Every word. It doesn't matter what you are seeing. So why don't we spend time in the word that cannot be changed? Open your Bible, even if it's one verse. Stay there for the next 1 week. It's okay. It's okay. It's really okay. I wanted to share something. I want us to pray. And I want to encourage us. Holy Spirit, help me. Okay, let me say it this way. I believe that every Christian should pray in tongues. I believe that. Apostle Paul says, I wish that you all prayed with tongues. Is what the Bible says. I wish that you all prayed with tongues. But of course, much more that you all does what? Prophesy. Why? Praying in tongues that divides a Christian. You know that 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 14, verse 1. 1 Corinthians, please. Let me just see if I can quickly. Yeah, good. Now about the gifts of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Go ahead, please. Verse 2. You know that when you... Sorry. Get me 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 14. 14, 14. 14. 1 Corinthians 14, please. the next two chapters. Even so, the body is not made up of the... Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, the Bible says, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, however in the spirit he speaks what? Mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Verse 5 says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. But even more, when I say even more, what does that mean? An addition, an extension. Good. Even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So there is the mindset that people have that has sometimes impeded or gotten in the way of their devotion in tongues. Because the Bible teaches how Paul was that teaching them and says, when you come to church, at least not more than three should speak with tongues. Then there should be interpretation, right? We now understand it to mean that not everybody should speak with tongues. When you read Acts chapter 2, let's just do a bit of that before we pray. God helping me, I'll be fast. Acts chapter 2. I'll read from verse 1 says, now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Amen. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. I don't know what's going on with me today, but Jesus is helping me. Sorry. Mark 16, when you read from verse 15, it says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. He says, verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. What did he say? In my name, they will cast, who will cast out demons? You that does, do you believe? Hey, do you believe? Do you believe? Good. He says, in my name you will cast out demons. He went on to say, they will speak with new tongues. Who will speak with new tongues? Some people that believe. Some people that believe. Everyone who believes will speak with new tongues. And he says in that Acts chapter 2 that we read, that all of them that were seated right there, Bible says they what? Were filled with the Holy Ghost. In verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There are things, of course, when you hermeneutics, the interpretation of scriptures, there's something called the law of first mention. So when the Bible teaches some things and where they happen first, you can derive from there that this is how the Lord would prefer it to be. Which is why Apostle Paul would say, I wish that every one of you spoke with tongues. Now that means that every one of you is not speaking in tongues, Abby? But it doesn't mean that it's not possible. It doesn't mean it wasn't possible. When Ananias ministered the Holy Spirit to Apostle Paul, the Bible did not clearly tell us that Apostle Paul began to speak with tongues. But of course, the Bible also says Apostle Paul, speaking with his mouth, said what? I thank God that I speak with tongues more than you all. It is the same Apostle Paul that says, I'd rather than three, just, you know, I speak few words, that I speak words that you understand, instead of speaking words in tongues. Do you understand what I'm trying to bring out now? So it tells you something, that as a devotion, every believer must speak, not must, every believer should speak with tongues. Do you know why? Our mind is limited. You can't pray what God wants you to pray as He wants you to pray. That's why Romans chapter 8 verse 26, we can't pray as we ought to pray. It is the Holy Spirit that helpeth our weakness. It is the Holy Spirit that helps us pray the mind of the Spirit. There are things that has to happen on earth, and they need to be said for it to happen. But you know, when you pray in tongues, you are saying things you didn't even know. So when they happen, you're wondering, when did I say it? You prayed it in tongues. You didn't realize it. It says you speak mysteries when you pray in tongues. You are speaking to God, not to yourself. You know, it's so beautiful, because sometimes when you're praying some things, your mind will be reading the many ways it can work. But when you pray in tongues, your mind doesn't have any business with that. All of the unbelief, it doesn't have any play to, any role to play. Glory to God. I think it's the love of God that has given us this gift. I believe it is the love of God that has given us the gift of His word and of His spirit. And if we spend time, like I said, reading what the Bible says, you will understand. How will Apostle Paul have the depth of revelation he had if he was speaking Aramaic only? He could pray out and say, Lord, that God will give you the spirit of wisdom. What is that? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He prayed that your eyes will be flooded with light. It's a spirit prayer. It's a prayer that comes out from the place of the Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. When Peter was sent to Cornelius' house to minister to them, the Bible says that they saw that they had been filled with the Holy Ghost. What did they see? Were they rolling on the ground? They saw that they had received as we are, as we did. How did they receive? How did they receive? Do you understand? That we have seen that the way we receive, they have received also. What's the one that said, Jesus, I forgot his name. The one that said, let me pay you so that you give me. Simon, bad Jesus, yes, thank you. What did he say? He has seen that Peter, they had administered the Spirit to these people, and he saw something. Instantly, there was something about them, and he said, please, how much so that you give me this thing? This thing is good. He said, this thing is good, let me pay you for it. He said, you and your money should do what? Perish away. Perish, oh, perish. You know why the Lord started to just bring me towards this direction? Because there's this thing we say that as believers, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit we receive is not just for tongues. Amen. Amen. Are we still here? The Spirit of God we receive is not, and we say that Abby, not just tongues. But the Lord started to ask me, how many persons understand what they have with tongues? How many believers actually understand who speak in tongues, understand what they have with tongues? The gift of tongues you have, do you know what it is? Do you know the gold you have? Yeah, it's not the only thing, but this one you now know that you have. Because it's not like you don't have all of those other ones. But this one you are aware you have. Do you understand the depth of it? So when Paul was cautioning the Corinthians about tongues, it is that, imagine that I come to church and all this while I've been speaking in tongues. What is what I'm talking? I've just been Fado Shakabaya Hoshke Fatu Venus Fada. You see that everybody will be in a state of quagmire. Praise the Lord. That's what he was saying. I rather speak what you understand. Many times, as the Lord helps me, I speak with tongues and I can get the interpretation. But there are times I know that I'm giving a message, but I can't even get the interpretation. And I'm hoping and I'm wishing and praying that somebody gets it here. Do you understand? There was a time I went home and I clipped it because I know God was saying something. I didn't just get the interpretation. I was sending it to my brother. I said, please just listen, pray and listen, see if you can get it. He said, he couldn't. He just said, well, he just got that it was thanksgiving to God. But there's something that, because he was not in the service. It's not something you don't learn it. It's not language. I'm saying that I can be saying things, you are getting the interpretation. Don't think these things ended those days. No, it's today. You speak with tongues. Apostle Paul says, I will pray with tongues. I will pray in my understanding. People of God, when you come to church, come empty. Come open to just, you know, leverage on the Spirit. What God is pouring out in that service. Don't let your mind, no. These are their tongues. He says, do you understand what tongues is? That I'm saying that he that is speaking in tongues is speaking to God, not to any man. It says, in the spirit, you speak mysteries. Please put up Jude 1:20. Let's rise, please. Jude 20, basically. It's just one verse, just one chapter. Put that up in Amplified Classic for me. Quickly, please. I'm out of time. Jude chapter, anyway, you know it. Verse 20 of Jude, please. Amplified Classic. So how does this apply to everything you've heard? You know that when you are full of the word, when you've learned and you've studied the word, you've read a portion of scriptures and you begin to pray in the spirit, it's the spirit of God that wrote, is the author of the Bible. He begins to break things down for you. And you begin to have deeper understanding of what the word says. So any scripture you don't understand, read it again and again, begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Read it again and again, begin to say, Holy Spirit, help me understand this scripture. Show me. And again, you know, when you're praying for somebody, you may not know exactly what they're going through. It's best to pray for people in tongues. Don't say, Lord, I'm praying for this, my sister. I perceive there's something about going on in their life. Holy Spirit, help me pray it out. Begin to pray in the spirit for that person. Stay in the place of tongues. Because the spirit knows what is wrong with that person. You don't know. You can be praying for husband. Meanwhile, this person is praying that God will heal her. God, go, don't. Amen. But when you're praying in the spirit, when you're praying in tongues, you are praying the mind of God. He says, but you, beloved, build yourselves all founded on your most holy faith. Make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. You make progress in the spirit when you pray in the Holy Ghost. When you spend time praying in the spirit, you rise like an edifice. It means it does something to you. You rise above your flesh. I want to read Romans chapter 8 from verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You can't pray in the Spirit if you are really, the Spirit of God is granting you utterance. You can't pray amiss, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It says, he's making intercessions with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he says, he's making that intercession according to the will of God. Can you just lift your voices and begin to pray? One, I want you to make a commitment to spending time with the word. You don't just choose prayer and leave the word. And you not choose the word and leave prayer. You can't wake up and just every day you are praying in the spirit and you don't have any word. There's no word in your spirit. No, it doesn't work like that. You take the word and you stay with it and begin to pray. So make that commitment, Lord, I will stay with the word. Every day I will read my Bible. I'm going back to my first love. I know that when we got saved, Bible, Sunday school, you will be there. Bible study, you will be there. Anyone, you will be there. Oh, we are reading this book, you are reading it. But somehow, now you are so busy. Now you have convinced yourself the myth of busyness. You have convinced yourself that you are busy. I'm saying to you, make that commitment to God. Say, Lord, I'm going back. I'm going back. I'm going back. I will stay with your word. Oh, embra to face. Cominanta fratish. Rate cos. Fratishele macon fratusia. Now begin to pray in the spirit. Now you just have a few minutes. You just have a few minutes. Pray in the spirit. 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 So you can call out one that says, Lord, help me pray your will concerning this matter. Help me pray it out. I don't know what to pray about this as I ought. Help me pray this out. Help me pray this out. Help me pray this out. The Lord has said something to you didn't understand. Now take that word and go to him in prayers. The Lord has given you something. There's a word I just said in my heart. There's a word. There's something the Lord has said to you, but you couldn't make sense out of it. I'm saying to you, it is in a place of praying, connecting in the spirit, keeping the word in your mind. That is where everybody in the media room, everybody in the media room, hey, everybody there, come out. If you're not serving actively, just come out, please. Pray, please, pray. Pray, pray. Please hold somebody. Just hold someone. Hold somebody. Masha te labrahando sovina mahani akosha rate kombrendesha libra fesco minahandesha e katon de baileta nembrohovesu. Go ahead, pray. Koso minahandesha vasonia da koso brendesha taine kosa rabaka sombrendesha tela eskebala te koso pretefetuske lembrandeira. Oh God, oh Lambrahande Kosia, oh that the eyes of our understanding may be flooded with light. Oh that the eyes of our understanding may be flooded with light. Give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Maradosha upon this house, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Upon this house, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I pray, oh God, that the eyes of our understanding may be flooded with light, that we may know what is the hope of our calling, that we may know what is the hope of our calling, that we may know what is the hope of our calling, that we may know what is the hope of our calling, that we may know what is the hope of our calling, that we may know what is the hope of our calling. Let's shut your hand and pray. Katala Mahanga Legend of Ahai, Rababa Shate Lebrahani, Eshalaka de Lebabarados, Esete Lembele Digabai, Rababa Shate, Ekosha de Tadianos, Eratosha, Maskatela, Maskatela, Bashatela, Bashatela, my God, my God, Ayakosa, Eledosiati, let there be an outpouring in his house. Let there be an outpouring of your spirit. Let there be an outpouring of your spirit. Let there be an outpouring of your spirit in this house, oh God. E kataya, e rabanosha, e latela makaya, e rababanosha, e shalataya. Pour upon us the spirit of kongosyata, wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. In the name of Jesus, e rabanashate, e rababakoba, meshkelia namatera. Rababa Sondina Mahai. Santiana Mahani. Pray for somebody. Say you will not be weak. Aya no Santia. Strengthen the arm of your brother. Strengthen your sister. Say you will stay in the word.
You will stay in prayer. You will not run helter skelter. You know what the Lord has said, and you stick with it. Oh, mouth empty, but say you will not be moved. You will not be swayed by every wind of doctrine. Say, my sister, my brother, you will not be lost. You will not be deceived. You will not be deceived. Your eyes see. Your ears hear. Your eyes see. Your ears hear. Your eyes see. Your ears hear. Oh, shakon di labande. Eh, rabababa shetia. Eh, skobi na makande. Eh, rabababakofi na makatae. My house shall be called a house of prayer. You in TCC, you'll be called a person of prayer. You will be called a house of prayer. You will not be tired of praying, because the Lord has poured upon you the spirit of grace and supplication. You are a person of prayer. You are a person of prayer. You are in the will of God for your life. Yes, you are in His will. 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 Wake up. Wake up, O Slumber. Wake up, O Sluggard. Wake up, O Sotiana Makai. Ashete Bredusia. Selia Kuprati Venesha. You have started in the spirit. You will finish in the spirit. Ashotokia. Shankaba. My God. My God. Zeka Ubasu. Bano Shake. Teskotia.
Is God and God alone? Is His word and His word alone? Is His God, His God alone? His word alone. We are not adding anything. Not our senses. Not our intellect. Not anything. Not our experiences. The word and the word alone. The word and the word alone. The word and the word alone. We drink of it. We crave the word. We grow by the word. We grow by the word of God. We grow by the word of God. We grow by the word of God. In the name of Jesus.
Father, thank you. Oh, mashagala bahara digala bahara. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name, O God. Be thou exalted. Father, we give thanks in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have received the spirit of grace and supplication. Thank you. We've received love for the word. We stay with it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. In the name of Jesus Christ, every feeble knee is strengthened. In the name of Jesus, every weary heart be strengthened.
in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is for you. The Lord is for you. He makes all grace abound towards you. In the name of Jesus, you are greatly helped of God. In the name of Jesus, as the Lord opened the eyes of his disciples and they understood scriptures, the Lord opens your eyes. As you begin to flip through scriptures and begin to read, the Lord opens your eyes and you begin to understand scriptures. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.